We can't look at one another and see what it is to walk by faith. We can pick up parts of walking by faith by looking at one another, you know, but we need to get an image of what is God's faith. Have you ever read Mark 11 and I believe it's 22? In the original, it says, have God's faith. The numeric Bible says that too. Have God's faith. You know, I've thought about that, and I felt like the Lord told me one time that God's faith is not the faith of man in God, but the faith of God in man. It's hard for us to work up enough faith in God, but if we've got His faith in us, which is what salvation is all about, the Lord working in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And you know, it's all right. It's all right. It's our privilege from the Scriptures to have God's faith in us, because that's what Jesus did. He made reconciliation. Reconciliation is an exchange. He took our unbelief. He put it on the cross. He gave us His faith. You have to reckon yourself to be dead unto sin. Self is the unbeliever. Do you know your spiritual man doesn't have the ability to walk in unbelief? He's born again. He's born of God. The problem is our old carnal man gets in the way. And our carnal man's been trained to be our Savior from this high on up, you know, to be a grown-up. But yet Jesus taught us we got to become as a child, or you won't enter into the kingdom. Now, we know that we're entering into the kingdom, don't we? Because Jesus said the kingdom is within you, one place, and another place He said it's among you, right? So we are entering into the kingdom. But you can't enter into the kingdom without being a child, according to what Jesus said. And that is weak. That's not a grown-up, right? The qualities that the world calls grown-up are not qualities in the kingdom of heaven. Casting all our cares upon Him and putting our total trust in Him to be our supplier, our Savior, our healer. These things please God. Without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So what we need is what He says in Matthew 11 and 22. We need God's faith in us. Have God's faith. You know what? When you get a picture of Jesus, you may get a picture of a faith that you don't have, that you don't have manifestly. Let me say that you can have that faith. The Bible says we all behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into that image from glory to glory. You see, you have to see it as an accomplished fact. You have to see the fact that Jesus has already given you everything that He is. And that includes His faith. And that's the way faith works. It calls the end from the beginning, you know. It calls those things that be not as though they were. When we look in the mirror and we see Jesus, the Bible promises us that we'll be transformed into that image from glory to glory. So we need to get a picture of His faith, because that's our faith. It is the faith of God in man, not the faith of man in God. Because man, the carnal man, has no ability to walk in faith. We try to work faith up in ourselves, and that is the faith of man in God. And that's why we're drawn to the Father. It's by grace, right? We are drawn to the Father. That's His gift given to us. And the same faith that He put in us to cause us to come to Him at the beginning, He will keep us in if we walk in faith that He's given us that. He's given us the faith that we need. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, the Bible says. He's given us all things. He hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And faith is the victory that overcomes the world. It's the primary importance. In Ephesians, I'm talking about weakness now. We're talking about where do we need to be weak. If you obey the Word of God, if you obey the principles of Jesus, you will be weak in yourself. You will cease from your struggling. You will enter into the Sabbath and cease from your works. so that God can do His. Okay? Ephesians 2, I'm sure you know this by heart. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, for by grace, in the original it says, have you been saved? For by grace, have you been saved? And that's what the numeric says. And that's what the Nestle's text says. And I believe the received text says that too. By grace, have you been saved through faith? And by the way, if it's not that you've been saved, then it's not by faith. Because faith always looks back. Faith believes you have received. It's always past tense. Hope is future tense. Hope is looking forward to something. Confident that you will receive something. A firm expectation. I believe it's either Strong's or Vine says that about hope. Okay? A firm expectation. But faith is not looking forward to anything. Faith is looking back at something. It's something that you have already received. It's calling the things that be not as though they were. So, whatever salvation it is, whatever salvation incorporates, it comes by grace through faith. And it comes by looking back. You know, I've run into people who, I ran into this one woman over in Louisiana, and she had been to who's who in the healing circuit. You know, she'd gone to everybody. She had two very large inoperable tumors. And she gave me a list of all the people she'd gone to, a bunch of people. And she said, David, he says, I just don't understand why I haven't been healed. And I said, well, I believe the reason just came out of your mouth why you haven't been healed. You know you're looking forward to healing, and the Bible teaches us to look back at healing. For by His stripes you were healed. Faith is always in the past. The sacrifice of Jesus was at the beginning of this testament, so that you always look back and accept what was done there. Accept it as yours, because it is past tense. If you accept it as past tense and done, then it causes you to be weak. Why? Because it causes you to cease. Because if you believe it's done, then you don't have to work it out. You don't have to keep working to try to bring it to pass. If it's in the future, you'll never know what method God wants to use to bring it to pass. But since it's in the past, you can accept it as a free gift. Because the scripture says, by grace have you been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, that no man should glory. And of course it doesn't stop there, because we have works to do, the works of God. It says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Whatever God's work is between here and the manifestation, our work is to believe what the Bible says. And the Bible says, by His stripes you were healed. And we should never be moved away from that by any kind of reason that would say, maybe not. Maybe not in this case. Because you'll never be able to have faith if you're not convinced that what the Bible says is true about your healing. See, Jesus came to reveal the will of the Father. And He did that by healing everyone that came to Him. Our problem is we can't come to Jesus physically and touch Him. But we can come to Him by faith. We can all come to Him by faith. We can confess our sins that we may be healed. We can get things out of the way. We have the ability to get things out of the way that are in the way. Confess your sins that you may be healed, the Bible says. And the other thing is touch Jesus. Everybody that came to Jesus, He healed. He came to show us the way and to be an example. Everybody that came to Him was healed. Why isn't everybody healed today? Well, number one, it's not being taught that by His stripes you were healed. You, as a Christian, you were healed. This is not something you have to look forward to. That's hope. See, that's the problem with many Christians, is they're looking forward to something that they need to be looking back to. We were healed. Not one of us, not two of us, all of us were healed. How do we enter into that? We enter into that by ceasing from our own thinking and our own reasoning and our own thoughts and saying, God, I repent. Your word is true. What's repent? Change your mind. The word is true. If it says by His stripes you were healed, then change your mind. You were healed. And what I want to explain to you is this word salvation here, this word sozo. It says, for by grace have you been saved through faith. Okay? Now, I point out to you that faith is past tense. It's always believing for something that you've received. When you pray, believe you have received and you shall have it. That's the way faith works. Okay, that identifies how our salvation is going to come. Our sozo, our saved is going to come. There's another thing that identifies it. Grace. Grace identifies God's method for bringing you sozo. Salvation, saved. Okay? Give me an example. In Romans chapter 4, look carefully at this. It says in verse 4, if it's grace, it's not your works. If it's grace, you have to cease from your works. See, many people are seeking healing because they have hope. Many people are seeking deliverance because they have hope. But hope will not get you healing and deliverance. Faith will. Okay? It says here in Romans 4 and verse 4, it says, to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned as of grace. So if you have to work for it, if you have to pay for it, if you have to earn it, it's not something that's coming through grace, because grace is unmerited favor. You understand? And much of the church is caught up in their own works. They say you're not saved by your works, but they believe that only when they talk about their soul. When it talks about salvation in other areas, or deliverance, or sozo in other areas, save in other areas, it's, oh, well, let's get back to our works. Now God does it this way. We'll get back to our works, okay? So he says here, to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as of a debt. In other words, God would owe it to you if you could work it up in yourself, or if you could work for it and call it God's salvation, if you like. It's not if you have to work for it, because he would owe it to you. It would be a debt. He refuses to cooperate with you in that, okay? You may call that God, but that's not God. Listen, the next verse says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. But to him that worketh not, grace comes to him that worketh not. Okay? Another example is in chapter 11, Romans chapter 11, and verse 6. If it is by grace, it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. Listen, if whatever salvation is, and I'm going to talk to you about that in a minute, how big salvation really is. Salvation is very big. It's much bigger than your soul going to heaven when you die. I mean, you know, it's much bigger than that. Salvation is here and now. Salvation covers everything that Jesus did on the cross. It covers everything that has to do with the curse of sin and of death. We've been delivered from the curse of sin and of death, Scripture teaches. And that's what salvation is all about. But if any part of that salvation is by works, then that's not salvation through grace. You know that there are deliverances out there that are not God's method for his people. There are salvations out there that are not God's method for his people. The world would just love to save you from Christ's salvation. The world always wants to be your savior. The arm of the flesh always wants to be your savior. Let me do it my way, Lord. I know how to take care of myself, you know. I'll do it.
You're saying there's believed salvations out there that are not in truth.
Right. There are ways.
Actually, salvation means that they're saying, what you're saying, right, is perception of salvation.
There are ways of deliverance out there that don't cause us to grow closer to God, nor do they cause us to manifest Christ, nor do they cause us to grow in faith. And they are salvations that are of the world. When the children of Israel were brought out into the wilderness, they wanted to run back to Egypt for their salvation. Let's go back to the flesh pots. God said, no, you stay in the wilderness. Your salvation is coming out of heaven. Well, we would rather Egypt's salvation. It's easier on the flesh. You know, it's not so much of a trial. Let's go back to Egypt. You know, every time they got into a tight spot, water, food, whatever, you know, God put them there. He brought them there and he put them there so that they would come to the end of themselves and put their trust in him. Instead, they kept crying, let's go back and get Egypt's salvation. Egypt had a salvation. Do you know the world has a salvation for you? It has a deliverance for you, but it's not an eternal deliverance. And the end is always a curse. The Bible says, cursed is he who trusts in the arm of the flesh. Let me tell you that in some way, maybe you don't see it, but in some way, whenever the world saves you, there's a curse in it.
Yeah.
There is a curse in it. Maybe you don't see it yet, but there's one there. When Christ saves you, it is eternal. It causes you to grow in faith. It causes you to grow in manifesting him. Okay? An example is Acts chapter 11. God's gifts are free. It's an affront to him to think that you can pay for them. You remember when Peter and John were praying for people and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Simon the sorcerer received, or Simon the magician received the Holy Spirit. And he wanted to pay them for this ability. Verse 20 says, but Peter said unto him, thy silver perish with thee, because thou hast thought to obtain the gift of God with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this word. He wanted this gift to be able to lay hands on people to impart the Holy Spirit. That's what he wanted. And listen now, listen, this covers a lot more than just this gift. He said, thy silver perish with thee because thou hast thought to obtain the gift of God with money. In other words, something that you earn, something that you pay for. Do you know that the gift of God doesn't come through your ability, your earning? You cannot pay for it. It has to be free. Do you know what happens when you go and pay for the world's salvation and call that God? Because it's not God. It's Egypt. It's going back to Egypt.
You get an answer, but it ain't God.
You get an answer, and you grow too, but you grow in the world. You don't grow in God. You see, one time the Lord explained something to me. Now, I know there's other explanations for this about the image of the beast. You know, the image of the beast is being manifested in this world right now. Now, I'm not going to deny what anybody else has to say about the image in the future, but you know that Christ was the image of God, the Bible says, and that his body is made up of saviors. The Bible even says, saviors shall come upon Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. Saviors is a plural. God's body is made up of people who he has gifted in different gifts, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, different gifts to enable them to do the work of Jesus in this earth, to bring about the work that Jesus wanted done, of deliverance, of saving, of healing, of providing. But you know what? First of all, God's administering these gifts. Let's narrow it down now. He's ministering these gifts through Spirit-filled believers. Let's don't twist the word like many Christians do and say, well, now God administers these gifts through pagans. No. I mean, God can give you many gifts through pagans. These gifts he's talking about come through Spirit-filled believers. Okay?
The Holy Spirit does not have to go through man. We know that. I mean, the Holy Spirit. I mean, we got, you know, that's, I mean, what I'm saying is that, like, when man gets in the picture, as far as like traditions of men, like the Sadducees and the Pharisees and whatnot, it becomes a stench before God's nostrils.
Mm-hmm.
What God wants is he wants purity of faith in him, where we look up and away from men.
Okay? Yes, right.
And I've really, you know, that as far as like there are those that have an anointing,
mm-hmm.
okay, but the gifts still will come straight from the Holy Spirit.
Right, through men. And but none of these gifts can be bought. If you go and buy, if you have to go and pay for something that you call God's salvation, and I'm going to look at what God's salvation covers in just a minute. If you have to pay for it, it's not grace and faith. We're identifying here, grace and faith cause you to be weak, cause you to cease from your trusting in Egypt and in the ways of the world. God's gift is free. You can't pay for it. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough for it. It's free. It comes by faith. Faith is believing you have received. You know, when you believe you have received, it causes you to stop from seeking. Do you understand? Stop and think about it. If you believe you have received healing, are you going to keep running after it? No, because it cuts off the works and the methods of men. Faith always cuts off the works and the methods of men. When you believe you have received, you can rest. You can cease from your works. You can enter into rest. Everything can come from God that way. Everything will come from God that way. It's the most perfect way to receive from God. You say, well, God, doesn't God keep Egypt going? Sure it does, but God wants Egypt for the Egyptians. God has planned the wilderness for Christians. Does God give strength to Egypt to keep running? Of course. I mean, in Him we live and move and have our being. He gives you your very breath. The world gets its breath from God. But that's not God's method for Christians. God's method for Christians is receiving everything that comes from Christ through grace and faith. That's His method. Okay? Back to Ephesians. You remember Ephesians 2 and 8. The gift of God, whatever the gift of God is, it is offensive to God to think that you would want to buy it from Him. He wants it to be a gift. He's chosen it to be a gift. Okay? Now this word sozo, alright? It's the word saved here. For by grace have you been saved. Sozo. You know how many places in the Scripture that word is used? It's used over and over and over in the Scriptures. If we can find these places where this word is used, then every place this word is used, it should come by grace through faith. That means not of your works, a free gift from God, exercising faith in God. That is what pure faith is. No. That is what God's faith in man is. You see? The other is not real faith. Okay? I want to give you an example. This one probably every Christian would agree on. It's the first one. But this is probably where a lot of us would part company right here. Okay? Luke chapter 7. And this was the sinful woman who anointed Jesus, and Jesus pronounced her forgiveness of sins. Verse 47, Luke 7 and 47, he says, wherefore I say unto her that her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that even forgiveth sins? He saith unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Thy faith hath saved thee. I believe everybody who is a Christian would agree with me that that salvation comes by grace through faith. But now, when we look at some of these other words, you may question whether that salvation still comes by grace through faith. But I can assure you, any kind of salvation that comes from God is a free gift that comes by grace through faith. Wherever this word is used, it fits into Ephesians 2 and 8. Everywhere this word is used, it fits in there. Whatever we identify this salvation, it fits in there. We asked a Greek man one time who spoke Greek. That was his native language. And we asked him, what does the word soteria mean to you? And soteria is our word in the Scriptures, a Greek word for salvation. It's the noun of sozo, okay? And we asked him, what does it mean to you? And he says, well, it means to us Greeks, all of your needs supplied, like a little baby. All of your needs supplied. See, we have such a narrow, narrow idea of what salvation is. Most of the churches that we've been raised up in, they've taught us that salvation is getting to go to heaven when this life is over. But when you look at that word and you identify it in the scriptures, you find out it's very big, very broad. And that every bit of it is incorporated in these promises concerning being saved. By grace, have you been saved through faith? This woman was saved by grace through faith. This is where her sozo came from, okay? All my needs supplied like a little baby. A little baby needs his needs supplied. We have to come as a child to Jesus in need of our needs being supplied. Grown-ups are used to getting their own needs supplied. They're used to going out and supplying their own needs, taking care of themselves. But you know, God desires this kind of relationship with us, that we would keep the Sabbath, cease from our works, enter into the rest through faith in the promises of God. The Bible says, having these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Hey, that's a broad promise. But that's how big salvation is. Very, very big. Okay? Let me give you another example of this word sozo in Luke 17 and 19. Okay? Now, let's see if we can still apply this by grace have you been saved through faith. Luke 17 and verse 19. And this is the story of the 10 lepers, right? And Luke 17 and verse 19. Remember the one leper that returned and gave glory to God? And in verse 19, the Lord said, and he said unto him, arise and go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the word made thee whole here is the word sozo. Saved. Thy faith hath made thee whole. What he received from God, you can only get one way. If you're going to get it in the wilderness and not in Egypt. Sometimes there is a salvation in Egypt. But like I was saying about the mark of the beast. There is a mark of the beast. There is the mark of God. You know, in Exodus 13 and 16, it talks about the mark of God in the forehead and on the back of the hand. And the mark of God was to have the Word of God. They would write the Word of God on these little, put them in these little boxes and they'd tie them right across their forehead and put them on the back of their hand. But guess what? The same verse in Revelation 13 and 16 is talking about the mark of the beast. And guess what? If it's the Word of God being manifested in your mind and in your works, this is the mark of God. The mark of the beast can be the word of the flesh, the word of the devil, the word of the world, the thinking of the world being manifest, the mind of the flesh being manifested in your mind and in your works. Okay? Now maybe that's just a spiritual revelation of it, but accept it, because it's still scriptural. See, if we walk after our own thinking and after our own works, it's because we're trusted in our own ability. We're not walking by faith in Jesus. We're not being renewed by the Word of God. Our mind is not being renewed by the Word of God. You walk as a beast. I don't care if you walk in church. You still walk as a beast if you walk after the mind of the flesh and if your salvation comes from the world. What I was saying about the image of Christ is being manifested in the church. Christ's body is made up of people. These people, each one of them has been given gifts to serve the rest of the body. Okay? Do you know the world's made up the same way? Jesus said there's only two men in the earth. There's Christ and there's Antichrist. There's Christ and there's Antichrist. The world works the same way. The only difference is the saviors who make up the image of the beast, they want to save you from Christ's salvation. And Christ wants to save you from their salvation. He has a salvation that is free. Theirs is not free. Theirs is very costly. God's got a better way. Jesus had a better way. He showed it to us in the Gospels. What Jesus gave in His provision was free. It didn't come through the works of man. The ability of man. The money of man. When you got to go pay for it, believe me, that's not salvation. By grace, through faith. This leper found that out. What did he have to pay for this? Sozo. He got a sozo that came by grace through faith. You know, in this case, it's talking about a blind man, and Jesus said unto him in verse 42, he says, receive thy sight, thy faith hath made thee whole. Sozo, saved. Thy faith hath saved thee. That's what it's talking about, saved thee. Salvation covers healing. Salvation's always covered healing. It even covered it in the Old Testament. You know, up until the time Solomon...
When you say that salvation covers healing, I've always felt as though that it was one of the gifts of the Spirit, you know, as far as like what it speaks of, and speaking in tongues, miracles, healing, things
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
Can you expound on what it is, what you meant by that?
Well, the word right here is sozo, it's saved. He was saved of his leprosy. The blind man was saved of his blindness. You see, what we need to do, we need to take, I mean, they've translated the same word different ways. They translated it saved, they translated it made whole. But listen, the original word is still only one word. It's the same word.
What I'm getting out of it, because I've got a copy of the Greek translation here, I'm getting made whole. What it's saying in the Greek is cured,
mm-hmm.
which again means made whole. So I wasn't sure if that was in the context of salvation, because this person was healed to restore to health,
mm-hmm.
made whole, I thought.
Right. But the word there is sozo. In fact, I have the Nestle's text over there, which is the three most ancient manuscripts. What's that, the received text?
This is the Greek, Robert Stevens.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have the three most ancient manuscripts over there, which is the Nestle's text.
Yeah.
And it's the word sozo. Sozo is the word in the scriptures for saved. Everywhere the word is used for saved, talking about our eternal salvation, the word sozo is used. Now, it's also used for healing, which tells you the healing is involved. Remember what Jesus came to deliver us from. We are saved from the curse of sin and of death. See, sin brought death. What was incorporated in death? Sickness, disease, everything else was incorporated in death. Our salvation is double, it's dual. It's not only the sin, but the penalty for sin. What is the penalty for sin? The curse. Deuteronomy 28, God expounded the penalty for sin, and he gave us the curse there. And listen, when you go back and read it, you'll find out that the curse covers not only sickness, but everything that ever happened to man detrimental because of his sin. Everything that came against man from the beginning because of his sin is a part of the curse. And you know what? Jesus became accursed for us that we might have Abraham's blessings. He became a curse on that cross. Everybody who's put on a cross is a curse, the Bible says. So you see, what Jesus bore was not only the sin, it was the curse for that sin. Why would God say, I want to take away your sin, but not take away the curse? Now, you know, this word sozo covers all of that. It covers not only the sin, but also the curse. Here's two men I just showed you, or three people that I just showed you, who were delivered of the curse of sin. And they were delivered of it because it was by grace through faith, the curse of sin. Okay? Healing, let me give you another example. Back in Luke 8 and verse 43. Now read this with me just a minute. I want to show you the difference between God's salvation and the world's salvation. Listen, let's don't change the scriptures. What we see in Jesus is still the truth. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is our salvation. What he did was to prove to us what he wanted to do. What he did in the Gospels, he does today to everybody that believes. You know, the gospel is the power of God to save everyone that believes. What's the gospel? It's the good news. It's the promises of God. Listen, doesn't matter if you're a Christian. What matters is, are you a believer? Do you believe what that says? There are Christians who are unbelieving Christians because they only believe what they want to believe. We have to believe in a Jesus of the Bible and that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you know that Jesus still heals everybody that comes to him? There's no, I mean, let's don't make another Jesus. Paul talked about those that would come to you with another Jesus. No, we don't need another Jesus. We need this Jesus. The problem is not with God. People blame the problem on God. The problem is not with God. God has already healed you. It's not a matter of him deciding who he's going to heal and who he's not going to heal. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that by his stripes you were healed. He don't have to make this decision. This decision is your decision. Listen, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, soteria, to everyone that believes. The condition is on you believing. The condition is not on whether God wants to heal you. The Bible says all of the promises of God are yes. Don't believe the people that say sometimes it's no. No. All the promises of God are yes. And through him is the amen. That means the so be it. That means it'll come to pass. Through him it will come to pass. Listen, what we've got to do is renew our mind and get back to a Jesus that's the real Jesus. The real Jesus. The real Jesus of salvation covers your body. It covers your circumstances. I'm going to prove it to you in just a minute, okay? Let's read this right here in Luke 8 and 43. And a woman having an issue of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her living upon physicians. Now, you know what? She was trying to buy salvation. She was trying to buy sozo. The word is saved. It's used in this text. She was trying to buy it. This is not God's method for you to receive it. God's method for you to receive this comes the same way as it did in the Scriptures. The laying on of hands, the confession of faith, that's his method. You know why? Because it excludes all of man's glory. Nobody can take credit when you do it God's way. Nobody but God. And I tell you what, it says, let them call for the elders of the church, they'll anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord and the prayer of faith, shall raise them up. It didn't say it would, might. It said it shall raise them up. Listen, if any two of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done. And I consider that to mean the person being prayed for and the person doing the praying. That's true, right? That works that way, doesn't it? Okay, listen. She spent all her living upon the physicians and could not be healed of any. I've been there. Some of y'all have been there, too. Only to find out that God gave it free when I gave up. Free. And could not be healed of any. Hold your finger there. I want to look at Mark 5 and 34 just for a second. It says there in Mark 5 and 34. Well, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Mark 5 and 25. It says, a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Okay? Now go back over there. I just want to point that out to you. She spent all that she had. She came to the end of herself. I've been there. And you know what? You can start out there. You don't have to try everything but God. You can start out with God. God is faithful. He is faithful to promise. He will not fail you. There is no maybe in this thing, folks. You can't exercise faith if you think it's a maybe. If you think maybe God will, maybe he won't. The Bible doesn't say maybe he will, maybe he won't. It says he's already done it. Listen, this woman, it didn't have anything to do with Jesus' faith. You watch. This woman came up and touched him. Jesus didn't know it until after it was all over. Watch. It says, well, first I want to make a point, okay? This salvation that she had been looking for was not sozo, because it was not grace through faith. It was not. Why? Because if it's grace, it's no more works. If it's a gift of God, you can't pay for it. Okay? And if it's faith, it's past tense. She was looking for it in the future. She sought to receive it. But if it's faith, she was looking the wrong way, like this lady that I was telling you about, who had these two tumors. I told her, I says, turn around and look the other way. You're looking the wrong way. God gave this to me. That's when he gave this to me, this thought. You're looking the wrong way. Turn around and look at the cross. Remember when the serpent on the pole was raised up in the wilderness? Everybody who got their eyes on that serpent on the pole, they were healed. You had to get your eyes off the snake bite and on the serpent on the pole to be healed. I told her, I says, turn around and look at the cross. That's where your healing happened. You're looking in the future. Tomorrow never comes. Faith never works that way. Faith believes that you have received. Faith turns around and looks back at the cross because the Bible says by his stripes you were healed. It's certain. Your healing is certain. It is accomplished at the cross. Reconciliation was accomplished. Colossians chapter 1. What is that? Exchange. God, you know what Jesus gave you at the cross? He gave you his healthy body. And he took your old unhealthy one. He gave you his clean, pure soul. And he took your old unclean one. He gave you his righteousness and his blessings. And he took away your unrighteousness and your cursings. The exchange was made. This is how faith works. Now, our old things have become new. What are we? New creations. New creatures in Christ. This is how faith works. Faith sees the end from the beginning and accepts it and holds it and grasps it. Okay? That's why this particular method is not God's method. You say, can God do it? Sure. God keeps all the Egyptians alive until they come to know Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? Can we come out and go into the wilderness and need Egyptology to come out of us? Of course. When we come out of Egypt and go into the wilderness, we need to be delivered of Egypt. Okay? I'm not talking law here, folks. I'm talking about a privilege. It is our privilege to accept our salvation in Jesus Christ as an accomplished fact. And what I'm telling you is how big this salvation is. We have an issue of blood for 12 years. We spent all of our living upon physicians and could not be healed of any. Came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately, the issue of her blood stanched. And Jesus said, who is it that touched me? And when all denied, Peter said, and they that were with him, Master, the multitudes pressed thee and crushed thee. But Jesus said, someone did touch me, for I perceived that power had gone forth from me. Oh, by the way, this word, I know King James says virtue here, but the word is power. It's dynamis. It's power. It's, in fact, King James uses that word, translates it power in other places in the Bible. Like two more verses over here, like Luke chapter 10. And here's the same use in Luke 10 and 19, you know, the power. The word power there is the word dynamis. Okay? So, it was power that came out of Jesus, but it was power that came out of Jesus. It didn't have anything to do with his faith. In this particular case, all that was necessary was this woman to touch him by faith. It wasn't a matter of him making up his mind whether to heal this woman or not. Notice, he didn't have to make up his mind whether to heal this woman or not. Jesus never turned anybody away anyway, but he didn't have to tell you no. He's not going to tell you no. In fact, if there's a no, the no is going to be in you. It's not going to be in him. The problem with us is we listen to the devil. We listen to the flesh. We don't listen to the Bible. Confess your sins and believe. That's all you have to do. I mean, I'm talking about if you have a willful disobedience in your life, it will come between you and healing because you're not going to have faith towards God. The Bible says if our heart condemn us not, we have boldness towards God. That's why you've got to confess your sins, is to get it out of your way. But Jesus said, yes, do you think that there were some of those people that came to Jesus that needed something worked out in their life? I guarantee you, all of them people that came to Jesus and had something needed working out in their life. But that didn't stop Jesus from healing. You know what did stop Jesus from healing some? When he went to his own hometown. That's right. He could not didn't say he would not. He said he could not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. See? Now, we need the faith of God in us. All right? This salvation has been accomplished. It's not a matter of you asking him to accomplish it. It is finished. I have overcome the world, he said. This is not a matter of him doing something in the future. If you ask him, will he do it, he'll tell you just what the Bible says. I did it. He won't say, I will do it. He never says that. The Bible doesn't say that. He's going to agree with the Word. He's not going to tell you something contrary to the Word. I knew a man one time that he was asking God to heal his wife of cancer. And God told him, she's healed. You know what? His wife died. He was sure God told him that. And I told him. He said, and he was angry with God. I said, but God told you exactly what the Bible says. He's not going to disagree with His Word. The problem is, do you agree with His Word? He's going to tell you to believe the Bible every time. He's going to tell you, you are healed. By His stripes, you were healed. What else is He going to say? Are you going to ask Him to tell you something besides what the Bible says? He's only going to tell you what the Bible says. Well, calling the things that be not as though they were appears like a lie to the world, but it's not a lie because you're in agreement with the Scriptures. You're in agreement with the One who does not dwell in time. That's God Almighty. And what He says goes.
Does God be true and every man a liar?
Yes. Yes.
We can lie to ourselves. We're men. You know.
That you might be justified when you come into judgment. Let God be true and every man a liar. You know what you need when you come into judgment? When you come under the judgment of the curse, what you need is justification. Justification is God calling you righteous. And you know why He called you righteous when you come under the curse? If you agree with the Bible concerning what Jesus did about the curse. Do you agree with the Bible about what Jesus did? Let me tell you what He did. He became accursed for you so that you could have the blessings of Abraham. Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace is upon Him. Do you agree with the Bible? See, if you're not agreeing with the Bible, you're going to consider, well, I need this. I'll have to handle it. The crucifixion of Jesus was not enough. I'll have to handle a little bit of it myself. Okay? And you know what? The worldly teachers are going to convince you of that, and you'll be a double-minded person. Because you are not agreeing with God's Word. Okay? Where were we? and if you have eyes of flesh, you know, Jesus only preached to those people who had eyes to see and ears to hear. He wasn't talking about the physical ones. They all had them. He's talking about had spiritual eyes. Seeing that His divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Do you see that? You see with your spiritual eyes that God's already given you everything that pertains in the life of God. It's not a matter of Him accomplishing it. He did that almost 2,000 years ago. Now the problem is, are you going to agree with Him? Two can't walk together except they be agreed. You can't walk with Jesus except to the extent you agree with Him. Now how are you going to agree with Him? I told Bud, I said, Bud, the Lord told you what the Bible says. The problem is, you didn't believe Him. You were waiting to see something. That is not the way faith works. Faith accepts it as a fact before seeing it. If you walk by faith, you shall see it. But if you walk by sight, you'll never see it. Because that's not the way it works. That's not faith. Faith is looking back at the cross. And of course, Bud was angry at God because God didn't do what He said He was going to do. But it wasn't God's fault. See, we enter into the covenant. The Bible says in Romans, you know, that the gospel is the power of God to save everyone who believes. Listen, the power of God's already accomplished. What He's done is already accomplished. What's the other part? You enter into that covenant by your faith. That's what brings it to pass. God's part is sure. It is finished. And it is final. Now, you enter into your part of it by faith. Our part of keeping the covenant. The disciples asked Him, Lord, what must we do to do the works of God? He said just one thing. He said, believe on Him whom He has sent. All we've got to do the works of God, whatever that be, is believe on him who has sent you. Does everybody have to die under the curse? Does everybody have to lead this life under the curse?
Oh, I see. So, in other words, for some of that burden.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
See, now, we take, the world has taken that for granted that you're going to die of something.
Yeah.
Oh,
do you have to die?
Down and go to sleep.
Do you have to die under the curse, or can you keep believing all the way up to the end until you lead out of this life? Has everybody died of the curse? No, sir. They did not. There's some very good. In fact, I got some books over there of people who died on their deathbed, and there was absolutely no pain in their body. They couldn't find anything wrong with them. They just went to be with the Lord. But you know what? Listen, this doesn't condemn the ones who do die. But you know what? We have to get our sight and our vision on Jesus. You can't go somewhere that you can't see it, you know. If you can see Jesus in the mirror, you can go there. The Bible says you can. Everybody's not going to go there to the same amount. One person received one talent, another two, and another five, right? Everybody doesn't get the same gift. Everybody doesn't manifest the same fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold, do they? Do you want to only enter into what you see other people entering into? Or do you want to enter into everything that God has for you? Well, see, that's the point. We're supposed to be looking at Jesus, not looking at our neighbor. Who cares what they enter into? Get your eyes on Jesus. He'll show you what you can enter into. Listen, God's going to do a special thing in these days. Did you know he's going to do a special thing in these days? Something he's never done before. The Bible says he's coming to be glorified in his saints and marveled at in all them that believed, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. Listen, did you hear what I said? The Apostle Paul said there was a day in the future whereby his words would finally be believed, and that Jesus would be glorified in some people in that day because they did believe that word. You know what? God gives grace for us to enter in to believing just as much as we can believe. God gives grace for us to reach out to places people have never reached out to. In this day, there is more grace to believe more than there's ever been. You understand what that verse says? He said in that day. Paul was saying they weren't believing it in his day. And that's what we're seeking for right now. We don't want to stop with what religion has accepted. We want to go on and get everything God's given us. And you know, there is a faith. Go back to Ephesians 2 and 8 again. It says, by grace have you been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. Okay, now that's one work. Okay, now here's another work. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. One is talking about your work, the work of the flesh, the efforts of man, the efforts of self, the buying of God's gift, all those things. The other is talking about God's work. Do you know what? When you've got faith, let's just use this for instance because we're talking about it already. When you've got faith that Jesus healed you, because that's the only one that's a scriptural faith. When you've got this faith that Jesus healed you, it's going to be seen in your feet. It's going to be seen in your mouth. It's going to be seen in your actions. That is a work that comes from faith. You know what the other work is? It's a work that comes before faith. Works of the flesh come before faith. Works of God come after faith. You know what? When you believe, you're able to walk just like you received. You know what happens when you do that? You do what the 10 lepers did. He said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. Well, they understood that. They understood because that was what was given in the law of Moses. That when a person was healed of leprosy, he went to show himself to the priest, and the priest inspected it, and the priest took his turtle dove and gave his offering. But these guys went to show themselves to the priest before it was manifested. You know, their walk was a walk of faith. But you know what would be the way the world is? The world would stand right there and say, well, I'm not healed. They would look at themselves and say, well, I'm not healed yet. It's not time to go show myself to the priest. That's a carnal walk. It's a walk that's according to sight and not according to faith. Okay? So, there is a work that follows faith. Faith without works is dead. If you believe that you're healed, let me see it come out of your mouth. And let me see it in your feet. And if you believe that Jesus delivered you from sin, let's see that come out of your mouth. And let's see it in your feet. You know? Do you understand? When you believe it, your actions have to agree. Faith without works is dead, according to James. Or it's incomplete. It's not real faith until it's put into works. But those works agree with what the Bible said. They don't agree with what the world says. The world says, I can see you're not healed. But your feet keep on saying, I'm healed. Look at me walk. You see, your works are going to agree with faith. That's something that you don't see. See, as long as you're just healed by faith, you know you're not healed by manifestation. As long as you're healed by faith, you're believing for something that you don't see. That's the way faith works. And if you don't do it there, you'll never see it. Okay? We have to repent of our worldly thinking. We have to repent of our Babylonish doctrine that's been given to us. We have to change our mind. We have to say, God, you're right. You have to say that before you can enter into it. You have to say, God, you're right. Let God be true and every man a liar. See, justification comes from agreeing with God. Listen, agree with God even if you're failing.
Amen.
Agree with God. You know, God's not going to condemn any, you know, wouldn't condemn your child if your child got up when your child was so big and it stumbled and fell. No way you'd condemn that child. That's what children do. That's the way they walk. You know, they don't always get it right the first time, you know. Now, they start getting this big and they start stumbling. You say, what's wrong with him, you know? But, you know, when we start out on a faith walk, we stumble, we fall, and we get up. If you don't get up, you're not overcoming, by the way. You get up, you walk a little further. You stumble, you walk a little. Every time you get up, you walk a little further, you know? But if you decide, I'm just going to sit right here, it's too dangerous to stand up, then you're going to be an unprofitable servant because you've been given knowledge and you're doing nothing with it, you see. Listen, I don't think we have to worry about that. Remember, it's God's faith in you. It's not your faith in him. You'll fail as long as it's just your faith in him. It's God's faith in you. Remember that God has given you his faith. Accept it as a gift. Reconciliation has given you this gift. Unbelief was taken away from you at the cross. Did you know that? All your sins were put on that cross, including the one that's at the foundation of every sin, and that's unbelief. That's at the cross. You've been delivered. The Bible says, reckon yourself to be dead unto sin. Now, what's he talking about? Reckon your old unbelieving self to be gone, dead and gone. I'm delivered from unbelief. You understand? That's not a confession of faith in myself. That's a confession of faith in God. We are delivered. You have been made free from sin, Romans chapter 6 says. You're free from unbelief. Believe it. Accept it. Don't get anxious when you fail God because of your unbelief. And don't let anybody put a guilt trip on you. Don't let anybody put you under the law to do what they expect you to do. Don't be moved by peer pressure because somebody else has got faith. Don't look at any of that. Get your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
He will give you the faith that you need to do these things. It's his free gift. You don't have to be anxious and try to work it up. You can't pick yourself up off the floor by your bootstraps, you know. It's just not possible. It has to come from the outside in. There's nothing that you can do from the inside out. It's a gift from God. Okay? So don't be condemned if you're not able to do everything that you see Jesus do or that you see others do. Don't worry about it. It's God who started the good work in you. It's him that's going to finish it. This is a gift from God. Those people that do that, start this legalistic thing, they get a lot of people hurt. This is wrong. And I'll tell you what, they ultimately get hurt because what you sow, you reap. You can't sow that legalistic thing without it coming back on you.
Right.
You can't judge others without being judged, okay?
Right.
I'm just offering you the knowledge. I'm trying to put the picture of Jesus up there in front of you. You look at Jesus. You'll be transformed into that image from glory to glory. Don't put any man up there, and don't put any religion up there. And don't let anybody put another Jesus up there. Because this is the Jesus we've got to put up there. Believe me, you can be transformed into any Jesus.
Yeah.
Religions do it all the time. The only Jesus we want to reflect is the one the Father sent. And look in here. This is the only way you're going to find out about him, is look in this book. Look at him. This is him. He's the same. He hadn't changed. Men tried to change him. Men made him comfortable. Men made a comfortable Jesus, a Jesus that the flesh could be comfortable with, a Jesus that wouldn't bring you through any kind of a trial of your faith. It's easy to have the Jesus that religion has. Let's have the Jesus of the Bible. I tell you, the reason we're not seeing the works of Jesus in this earth is because they've made another Jesus. And they're being transformed into that image from glory to glory. That's our problem. Let's get back to this. Because Jesus sent his disciples out to do the same thing he did. How can you do the same thing he did unless you agree with him? Listen, sozo. Let's read the rest of the first. We can get through it. Luke chapter 8. Sozo, okay? Jesus perceived that power went forth from him. Verse 46. Luke 8:46. I really want to get on beyond healing because I believe a lot of people here understand what I'm talking about here on this healing business. But I want to show you how broad salvation is. Because it's all going to come by grace through faith. All of it. And the rest of it, let me tell you, that is man's works. That is going back to Egypt. The rest of it is. Because this is God's gift. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough for it. It's God's gift, okay? Verse 47, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people for what cause she touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath, in my Bible says, made thee whole, but the word there is sozo. He hath saved thee. Go in peace. He saved her. This is a part of salvation. She was saved. You know,